You know, I just think of the phrase, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And I think about in Revelation where it talks about how all of heaven stops when the creature starts singing that. The elders bow down before the throne. Just imagine and just put ourselves there, because the Bible says that we are. We're seated with Him in heavenly places. And so when we're singing that by faith from our hearts, your angels that are with you this morning, let me say that again, the angels that came in here to this room with you this morning, every one of you has an angel assigned to you. When you start singing that from your heart, they start singing it with you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. The earth is filled with His glory. Hallelujah. God is good. His mercy endures forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Kids, we normally have you step out, but we're going to have you stay for a few minutes. We're going to hear testimony of what happened this week at the youth retreat. And first of all, I want to tell you, and I'm not going to take any, hopefully, of Donnie's story, but I'm very proud of our youth. I'm very proud of our youth. But I'm also proud of every one of you. Because we had lemonade things out there for 6 weeks or a month. But look at, you all contributed, whether it was $1, $10, to send the kids to this youth camp. Now you're going to hear what your investment bought, right? What it produced, right? It may not have been a Starbucks latte, right? But you produced change in people's lives this last week. Amen. Amen. And so I'm proud of our team. I'm proud of my daughter, for sure. And I'm proud of all the youth that went. They represented us well.
They really did, and I'll get into that. But first, we have a slideshow for you guys.
Today, people are nourished and stripped in our bodies, and thanks for the food to be prepared today. In Jesus Christ, we are praying. Amen.
I'm going to call all the kids up here. Teens, come on up and line up right here, please. I just want to say I'm so proud of these kids. They really opened up their heart and let God minister to them. And they each have a testimony to share with you. But before we get there, I want to tell you guys, So all four of the boys were in a cabin together, and they had leaders that were over them, and it was just these four boys. And the leader said, I have been going to this camp for 20 years. This is the best group of boys I've ever had. I'm so proud of how well these six kids, these six young people right here, represented our church. And because of your donations, we didn't have to pay a dime. It even paid for me. Like, I was willing, but it covered everything. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to hand the mic, and we're going to go down the line, and I want you guys to tell your, we're going to do best and worst. So we always do best and worst, and we start with worst because we need to get that out of the way. What's the worst thing that happened? What's the best thing that happened? And then we're going to add to it what ministered to you the most. Okay?
My worst was, it was like zero AC, so it was always hot.
My worst was the amount of pain I went through. The amount of pain in my legs and my arm.
All right, my worst was by far, while the prayer in the ministry was amazing, oh boy, did it kill your legs afterwards.
You never knew the time.
That was your worst? You have good time?
No, you never knew the time.
Oh.
Yeah, we were running around and we were like, how long till?
I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, okay. I forgot what I was going to say. I forgot what I was going to say.
Whatever your words was for the
trip. I'm not very active, so I couldn't really do anything.
Suddenly I have no words to say.
Right next to your mouth.
Suddenly I have, like, no words to say, but, I've suddenly no words.
Sensory overload.
Yeah, the sensory overload. I was sobbing. It was not fun.
It was very loud, and there was prayer, and people were touching her, and there was a little bit of sensory overload. But we worked through it. We prayed through it, and we got through it. Amen. Okay, now we're going to do our best.
I'm able to speak in tongues now.
My favorite part was service.
I'd once again also say service, but in more specifically, it was one service to where they asked if you wanted to come up and get prayer, so I did, and I felt the Holy Spirit come in me, and that was an amazing feeling.
I had a great time.
I had a great time.
I can also speak in tongues. I have two best. Bear with me. We won Clue. And I can also speak in tongues now.
Hallelujah. Four of these teens got their prayer language this week. So cool. So cool. Okay. Now, we're going to do... What has God ministered to you? What is God telling you? Or what is something that happened that really, really touched you that is aside from what you did for your best, okay?
I learned that the best way to hear God's voice is to read and pray every day.
It's kind of the same with James. Read, pray.
Wow. You guys stole it. How dare you? God really put on my heart that I needed to start actually, like, when I get up, get time in the Word. Like, dude, I'm seriously thinking about doing the devotionals that you said, and I'm thinking about starting another group chat and doing devotionals with all of you.
Yeah, when I've been waking up, I like, first thing I do is grab my Bible and pray.
It's also getting me into the habit of reading my Bible and everything, so.
I believe I have to say the same. Just get up every morning, get in the Bible. Well, it's literally eat, sleep, pray, repeat.
Give these guys a hand. So I have to tell you, the first service there, I said, have a seat. I didn't say go back to the back. Park it. we went into worship service, and it was, I'm here, but I'm not doing it. And by the end, it was, they were raising their hands, and they were doing worship, and they were going up to the front voluntarily. And when they asked if anybody wanted prayer, they were getting up there and getting ministered to, and there was healing that happened. And it blessed my heart so much that they had this opportunity to have the encounter. Amen? I have faith that these kids left changed, and they're not going back. Amen. Amen. So God is calling them to different places. He actually showed at least one of them visions of what she's to do. Showed her visions of things to come. And it's incredible. It's incredible how much God has moved in these kids' lives. And I am forever grateful to you guys, because I have tried forever to say, you need to get in your Bible. You need to get, but if something happens when A, it's not your parent, B, it's not the person who's always feeding you. When it comes from an outside source, sometimes it's like, oh, you mean read your Bible. Yes, I mean read your Bible. And so we're just really, I want to encourage all of you to encourage them. We are trying to be here early for pre-service prayer. That's something that we did at camp, and that's something that they want to continue. And I want you guys to join them and encourage them in that. And then also, they're here praising God and being on their feet even when it hurts. And they're raising their hands even when it's shy. Encourage them by doing it also. Amen? Okay, that's what I got. God is so good. I got blessed too, but it's about the kids. Amen?
Hallelujah. Come on, is that good? Hallelujah. You know, we've been praying and praying and praying and praying and asking God for encounters. Amen? We want encounters of the Holy Spirit. Because it's an encounter with the Holy Spirit that draws your heart to Him. Let me say that over here. It's encounters with the Holy Spirit that draws your heart to Him. I don't know how many of you remember when you got saved, or some of you, it's when you rededicated your heart to the Lord, and it was like, God, I need you. And the Holy Spirit said, I'm here. In the midst of your pain, in the midst of everything that went on, in the midst of God showed up, and you had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Come on, that's what we're praying for. That's what we're believing for. Come on, right? I mean, we're believing God that the people that we meet just don't hear another track or something. Or they go, well, you know, I've heard that before. But the Holy Spirit shows up in a way, come on, that will change their heart. I know what He did for me. I know when He showed up in my life, what He did for me. It completely transformed me. The things I was doing before, it's not that you can't do that anymore, you're a Christian. I didn't want to do that anymore. Because my heart had come into the presence of God, and He came into me. And it changed everything. That's what I'm praying for. I believe that's what the anointing can bring. Are you with me? That's what the anointing can bring. I love coming together. I love being with y'all. But I want the Holy Spirit. And not just for me. I want people to encounter the Holy Spirit. You know, we've had people come in here before. And I'll be honest with you, they were just higher than a kite. You know, just higher than a kite. Or some of them had been, you know, they were drunk but not on the new wine, right? We've had all kinds of things happen to us. But this isn't what I'm going to preach on, but the encounter with the Holy Spirit made such a difference. The worship team, and this is coming to my heart, the worship team, we were out at Indian Reservation, right where at the bottom of the Hood Canal. I forget which tribe that is. Does anybody remember? Anyway, but there's a little Assembly of God church right there, and we were there. And so we did worship for a while, and then we started praying for people. And praying for people. And praying for people. I don't know how many there were original, but we had at least three or four times as many people come through the prayer line as that were there when we started worship. Isn't that right, Lila? And the deal was, is God was moving. So the people who got touched got on the phone. Said, bro, you got to come down. There is an encounter of the Holy Spirit happening at our church. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to show up again. All right. I said, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to invade again. Why? Because I don't have the answers for the homeless. I don't have the answers for the addicted. I don't have the answers for the abused. I have the formulas in the Word of God, and they're all true, and they're all valid, and they all work. Don't misunderstand me. But it's the power of the Holy Spirit infused in that Word that can cause instant deliverance.
Yes.
I have watched the Holy Spirit take one of those who was completely high and sober them up in a second.
Yes.
Deliver them in a second. I'm ready for more of that, not because I want a show, but because I want people to have an experience with the Holy Spirit that they will never, ever, ever, ever. They might walk away, they might do different, but they'll know that they know that they came in the presence of God.
Yes.
Right? Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That leads into what I want to talk to you about this morning. And here's the deal, and there's really no middle ground in what I'm going to talk about. You're either a victim or you're a victor. Let me say that again. You're either a victim or you're a victor. God's done everything that He can and will do to make you a victor.
Yes.
It's up to us to walk in the mentality that allows us to stay in victory.
Right.
Now let me read these definitions. This is not necessarily Bible definitions, but listen to this. Watch this. Both kinds of people with either a victim's mentality or a victor's mentality feel the pressures of the world against them. Let that sink in for just a second. Both the victor and the victim have the same pressure against them. Listen to that. That is awesome. The difference is the victims feels paralyzed by it, while the victor feels motivated by the criticism of others. A victim focuses on an outward pressure, while a victor focuses in on an inward confidence. Are you listening to me? A victim feels like things happen to them on purpose, that they have little or even no control over, and that it is always everyone else's fault. Say amen or oh me, because it's true anyway, right? A victor feels like they can use a skill or develop an attitude or behavior that will improve their position. Come on. Are we victims? Or are we victors? There's scripture that say that I'm more than a conqueror. We're going to read it. More than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. And that He always leads me into triumph. Is that true? Let me ask you another question. Is that your truth?
Right. That's a good question.
Is that your truth? Because many of us are conditioned to walk as victims.
Yes.
And I would love to say that everybody that's ever heard me preach walks out being the victor. But they don't. And the reason that we don't is we slip back into, I am absolutely controlled by the circumstances that I find myself in. And those circumstances may not be good. Those circumstances may not be what you were planning on. But where's your focus? Well, they did this, or they did that, or she said this, or he did that, or, you know, I lost my job, or I lost... If that's where your focus is, then you've entered into victimhood. Yeah, but Pastor, it really happened. I know. I know what the doctor said. I know what the bank said. I know what the economy is like. I know what inflation is like. I know all of that. But here's what I also know. That greater is He who lives in me than he that's in the world.
Yes.
Right? I don't like pain. I don't like lack. I don't like suffering. I don't like any of that stuff. I don't like it when you talk bad about me. Oh, Pastor, we'd never do that. I know you have. And it's okay. Because I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. But here's what I know. Even when I fall down, even when I make that mistake, the Holy Spirit is inside of me saying, that's not an excuse to stop. That's not an excuse to quit. Because I'm with you. I'm with you. Glory to God. I got a whole lot of preaching to do in a little bit of time. You know the story, but go with me to Numbers chapter 13. And we may skip through this a little bit. And you can read it again on your own. And just because you know it and you've read it before, don't fall into the trap of not listening. I said, don't fall into the trap of not listening. How many know that God had promised through Moses and through Aaron that he was going to put them into the promised land? How many know that they knew that because they were children of Abraham, that they were heirs of the promise of Abraham? How many know that they knew that they had a covenant with God because God met with Moses on the mountain and gave him their presence, his presence. He not only gave him the Ten Commandments and everything, he came down with his presence, and in a tent, wherever they went, he was there. They had a covenant with God. They had a covenant with God. Verse 1 says, and Moses spoke, the Lord spoke to Moses, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, everyone among them. And so Moses got the men together. He said, here's what I want you to do. And verse 17 says, then Moses sent them out to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in there are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether its cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now is the time, was the season of for the first ripe grapes. He said, go on in, and I want you to spy it out. I want you to come back with a report. God said, you're going to go into a land that is flowing with milk and honey. He's told them that you're going to inherit something that you didn't build. He promised them. So you know the story that 12 of them went in and they came out. And was, I think this is so humorous but so powerful. They brought some grapes out. Have you been to the store and got a cluster of grapes or a little bag that's got several clusters in it? Well, you didn't get grapes like this. Because this cluster of grapes, they had to have a pole that the cluster hung on, and then two men had to carry it. That's what God promised. So that should have been a rally cry to go in. Verse 27. Then they told him and said, we went into the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit.
Thank you, Lord.
Nevertheless. Come on. 12 tribes. 10, all 12 of them went in. They all saw the same thing. But the nevertheless is opening the door for victimhood. The nevertheless. We saw it's exactly like you said. God, we know in your word you said that you're with us. God, we know in your word that you said you're for us. God, we know in your word that you said you supply all of our needs. God, we know what you said. Nevertheless, we're walking in as victims. Nevertheless. But God, I know that you promised to heal me, but God. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Do you know how big they are? The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites, you know the Canaanites. They dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Oh God, why didn't we stay in Egypt? Isn't that us? We face something after we got saved and it seems like it's just overwhelming us. And maybe even out of our mouths we've made statements like, I was better off before. That's a lie. I said, that's a lie. But what we've just done is we've opened our heart to victimhood.
Right.
Look at me. I'm a victim. God, you gave me this promise, and God, you showed me the land. You said you'd do all of this, but I can't do it because I am not strong enough. Duh! It's not about you, but you have to come out of victimhood and put on the victor's crown.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Now watch this. I am convinced, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not any of that, but I'm convinced that once a person, not by their fault, and sometimes even little kids, they get victimized in horrible ways. Just horrible ways. But in the spirit, they now carry not only the shame, but the mantle of victim. And in the spirit, the demons are going, easy target, easy target, easy target, easy target, easy target. And then he'll put into the hearts of people that he controls, there's one you can get. There's one you can get. That one's easy. Victim, 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 victim. And the cycle continues over and over and over and over and over and over because the signal is there. Well, I'm telling you this morning that God does not intend that to be you. He wants you to take off the victim's crown or the victim's hat and put on the victor's crown.
Yes.
Let me just tell you a story right here. There was a lady who came and was seeing me for a while, and I could tell you the story of her victimization, and it would break your heart, and it would absolutely, you'd just be horrified. I don't know how in the world, from my standpoint, people can treat people the way they treat them. I don't understand it. It's not in me to do that. But that was her reality. So if anyone had a right to wear a victim's hat, it was her. But the Lord began to deal with me about getting that victim's hat off and putting on the victor's crown. I went so far as, and I felt the Lord directed me to do this, I went and bought her a tiara. Not a cheap plastic one, but a nice one. Because that's not who you are. You got saved. That doesn't belong to you, but this does.
Yeah. Lord.
Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? But here's what can happen. We can grab that tiara or that crown and put it on, and then circumstances come against us. And we go, well, just a minute. Poor me. God, I know that you said I'm all this, but the giants, what they said, what they did, and you fall right back into that victim. You are one who feels paralyzed by the circumstances. There's nothing I can do. Or a victor says, this is pretty bad, but God. But God. My God will give me wisdom. My God will show me what to do. I'm not going under. I'm going over because the God who made the seas is in me. Come on. The God, come on. He's the same God.
Thank you, Lord.
Verse 30. Praise God for Caleb. I said, praise God for Caleb.
Yeah.
You and I need Calebs in our lives. And the Bible's really polite here. It says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, I can just imagine Caleb hearing the report and the whining that was going on by the victims. Now again, please, well, do what you want to do. I think he said, shut up!
Yeah, come on.
Quit talking like that! Quit it! Stop it! Have I got your attention? Let us go up at once and take the possession. For we are well able to overcome it. 10 victims. 2 victors. But because the crowd went with the victims, they spent 40 years in the wilderness. What am I saying to you this morning? If you're going to keep listening to the voices in your head that are keeping you a victim, that are telling you how much of a victim you are, you're going to spend more time in the wilderness than you need to. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
We are well able to take it. Well able to. Why? Because we are the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have a covenant with Almighty God. And if He told us to do it, if He said we could, then we can. Let's go at once. Let's not stop. Let's not even think about it anymore. Let's go right now. Because we're overcomers. Fast forward when they went in and all of the victims, all of the victims died in their victimhood.
Yep.
Are you listening to me? But the victors went in, Joshua and Caleb. And it came to the time, Caleb was 80 years old. I'm going to be 70 this year, and you know, my muscles don't work as well as they used to, but Caleb was 80 years old, and Joshua said, hey, it's now time for you to take your land. We'll go in and help you. He said, I don't need any help. I saw this 40 years ago, and in my heart I've still worn the crown that I am more than a conqueror through who is with me, and I am well able to take my land. I don't need your help. I have His help. Because His mentality was focused on the promise instead of the giants. We're not going to go there. You know the story of Gideon. Gideon, in the book of Judges, Gideon was a man who was hiding in the wine press trying to get some food because the enemy would keep coming and steal the food. So he's in the wine press hiding from the enemy. And the angel of the Lord came to him and said, I've got a job for you to do. And his response was, who, me? Right? This is my paraphrased, loose translation. Are you kidding? I'm hiding in the wine press. But watch what the angel turned around and he said, you, mighty man of valor. Huh? You talking to me? Are you talking to me? Yes. And I'm talking to you this morning. I'm talking to you this morning. You're not helpless. You are not the victim. You are not underneath. You're above. But I need you to see yourself that way and then refuse to talk any other way. Come on. Abram had to have his name changed so that God could work through him to bring the promise to pass. Your name was changed when you got saved. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm a child of the Most High God. But I need to see myself that way. I need to wake up in the morning saying that. And saying that, and saying that in the midst of circumstances that bring grief, in the midst of circumstances that bring discouragement, in the midst of it, God, you're with me. You said that you're with me. Come on. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, come on, it says that He always leads us into triumph. What does that mean? We win. Oh, you don't understand. I always lose. I'm a loser. That's victimhood. That's not who you are. Why? Because you're in Christ. He's not a loser. Let me say that again. He is not a loser. And if you're in Him, automatically you become a winner. And He's always leading you to win and not to lose. Even, come on, even if you're in the midst of pain, even if you're about to die, and even, come on, even in that, you can't lose.
Amen.
Whoo, glory to God. All right, I've got to close. Romans chapter 8. Again, you've heard this before, but I want you to hear this, and I want you to take off your victim's hat and put on your victor's crown this morning. I want you walking out of here saying, speaking, and acting on what I'm telling you, but I don't want you to just do it this afternoon. I want you to do it tomorrow morning, and then on Tuesday morning, and then on Wednesday morning, and then maybe at noon on Thursday, and how about at dinner time on Friday, and I want you to begin to see yourself not as the victim. One day it's all going to be worth it. It's worth it now! Because He's made me more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I am not alone. I am not by myself. My God is with me. I'm a child of the Most High God. Come on. All of us face the same type of circumstances. And we could get up here and have a judging contest on who has it worse, but I wouldn't do that in a million years. What I would do is I would bring you all up here and I'd say, here is your victor's crown. Here's your victor's testimony. And every one of you have the same one. Because it's in Him. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You know, I can say this. Many of us in here need answers. We need help. How do I face this circumstance? How do I go this? I can tell you that the answer is Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, how can you be that? Jesus. It's Jesus.
Yes.
Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Now, what does that mean? That means that God so loved me that even when I was dead in my sin and the disgustedness of my actions, He died for me. Christ means the Messiah, the anointed one who came to bring death back to life. Who can separate us from the love that was motivated to do that for you? Shall tribulation? I don't think so. Distress? Persecution? Not on my watch. Famine? Forget about it. Nakedness, peril, sword? It's not going to affect me. I'm not going to allow it to affect me. I refuse to allow it to affect me. Why? Because my view is not on what's around me. My view is on who is in me. Glory to God. I got Jesus living on the inside. I have the Holy Spirit living on the inside. I'm tired of listening to the victim mentality that the enemy tries to put in my head. Well, you'd have been a lot better off if you did this, or if you would have done that, then you'd have been further ahead. And if you wouldn't have done this, then they wouldn't have left. And if you wouldn't have done this, this wouldn't have happened. Shut up! Even if that's all true, I have the greater one living on the inside of me. I'm not going to listen to that anymore because I've been forgiven. And not only have I been forgiven, all of my unrighteousness has been cleansed. Why? Because the love of Christ is mine. Who is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. See there? We're all victims. No, we're not. Even though we're in that, we're not of that. Yet. Ever say yet? In all of these things. All what things? Every circumstance you find yourself in. Every circumstance. Everyone. Everyone. You can't name me one today. Well, you know, this happened and that happened and this happened and, you know. A lot of people live like they're living in a country western song. My dog died. My wife died. This happened and that happened. Woe is me. No. Even if all that happened, yet. Come on. Yet, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Woo, glory to God. I can handle it. I can handle it because God is with me. But when you start getting your eyes off of Jesus and onto yourself in your circumstance, then the victim hat comes right back on. I'm just a victim. I'm helpless. You're not. That's a lie. Because yet in all of these things, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded. Are you persuaded this morning? If you're not, get persuaded. Begin to talk to yourself. You know, you have to talk to yourself.
Yes.
You talk to yourself all the time.
Yeah.
But you need to talk to yourself on purpose.
Yeah.
Listen, boy, you're not a victim. Listen, boy, you're not defeated. Listen, boy, you can do it. Listen, boy, you will not do that. Listen, boy, you will do this. Listen, boy, who are you? I'm a child of God. I'm a son of the Most High God. I'm a king's kid. I'm convinced, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities or powers or things present or things to come nor height or depth or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Seeing yourself in the love of God, no matter what you've done, what's been done to you, is the key to walking as a victor in Christ. I'm telling you this morning, He loves you.
Yes.
I'm telling you that even your failures that you think you let Him down, He'll turn around for good if you let Him.
Celebrate
Him. Right? And some of the things we say is, well, if that person would have had much more faith, talking about us, they wouldn't have gone through this circumstance or that. Don't listen to that. Don't listen to the enemy tell you that. Because the love of God is still in you. The love of God is still with you. It's not a failure. Why? Because even if that person that you were believing for passes away, they're with Christ if they knew Jesus. They didn't lose. Come on. Hallelujah. They didn't lose. Even if it got to the point where they're persecuting Christians to the point they come and kick us out of our house, we have a home in glory that's called a mansion, and it's waiting for us. And no matter what happens here, I'm more than a conqueror because of Him who is inside of me. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor circumstances nor principalities or powers can separate me from... But you have to say it. You have to believe it. You have to become fully persuaded of it. And when doubt starts to come, you've got to do something about that doubt and say, I don't think so. You've got to be like Caleb and say, shut up! Quiet down! Because that's not the truth. Here's the truth. If God be for me, who can be against me? If God is with me, the devil doesn't have a chance. And I refuse to give up on any of the promises. And just like Caleb, I don't care if it takes a year, 2 years, 40 years, I will inherit the promise that God gave me. My children will serve God. My family will be converted. I will see a move of God in my generation. I will see it because God is with me. So I got to ask you again, are you going to walk out of here a victim or a victor? It's your choice. It's your choice. I said it's your choice. You don't understand. You're saying yet. You're saying yet to the promises of God. But what I want you to do is to say yes to the promises of God.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Whew. Father, I thank You for Your word today. I thank You for putting that on my heart. And I thank You that everybody that's listening to me right now, whether it's online or whether we're here in the room, we needed this today. So Lord, we're declaring with our lips that Your word is true. We're declaring with our mouths that You've made us more than conquerors. We're declaring that with our mouth that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. We're declaring and just before You, God, that we're going to go out of here as Your children, and Your children are never begging for bread. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. With every eye closed and every head bowed and just listening to the Spirit of God, if you're at home, just quiet yourself before God for just a minute. This is not about me. This is about between you and God this morning. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, then the victor's crown isn't for you. And the reality is if Jesus isn't your Lord, it's not that God is kicking you out of heaven, but you haven't accepted the only way into heaven. So just yield yourself to the Spirit of God. Say, I need a Savior. Jesus is that Savior. I yield myself to Him right now. God, here I am. I'm calling upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says that those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. We thank You for that today. But if you're here and you've felt like the victim, or you have had the mentality, this bad things always happen to me. I am always, that's the enemy trying to keep you trapped and taken back into victimhood. I want to see you delivered today. God wants to see you delivered today. I believe right now, if you listen to the Holy Spirit, He's speaking to you and He's saying, you are my child and I love you. I've got you. Look unto me because I'm the one who authored your faith and I'll finish it. I started a good work in you, and I will bring it to completion. Father, right now we resist the lies of the enemy in Jesus' name. He has to flee from us in Jesus' name. But we're taking on your word, Father. We're submitting ourselves to you, and we thank you for lifting us up today in Jesus' name. If God's speaking to you about something in particular right now, just give that to Him. Say, God, I'm sorry. I've looked at the circumstances more than you. Forgive me, God. I yield this whole situation to you right now in Jesus' name. I yield my finances. I yield my spouse. I yield my children. I yield my body. I yield that all to you right now, and I refuse to act as a victim one second longer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for sealing this in our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. If I could have the worship team come up. Come on. Yeah, come on.